Last weekend, just a taste, we get a bunch of marquee matchups, three top 10 matchups in college football this weekend, now less than a week away from the start of the NFL season. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. You've got Bet Sweats weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on the BetMGM network. Every Friday during the football season, we're bringing our friend Kelly in Vegas at Kelly in Vegas on X of Wager Talk and the Kelly and Murray Show, among many other things. What's going on, Kelly?
Hey guys, good morning. Life is good. I hit Cincinnati last night. I woke up this morning just chuckling. CT Betts and I joined the college football contest there at the Westgate in Las Vegas. And so did I with like five other people. And then I've got my own entry. And I said, all right, CT, like you like Buffalo. I like Cincinnati. We both kind of lean USF. Do we just want to wait, right? Like, do we need to just jump the gun, put in all seven plays right now? And I said, you know, if we don't put in these three plays, they're going 3-0, right? So I woke up this morning, just had to laugh. That's how it goes, right? I mean, you never cash a ticket that you don't make. So we're starting off the season strong, he and I.
We also had that same scenario. My guy, Matt, him and I have done contests for years together. He's out of Chicago. And he's like, I like one of these Friday games, but I don't know. And I'm like, let's not lock anything in. Let's wait. So we had a couple games yesterday. We were going to put Cincinnati in because it's very tough to get to seven that we like.
Yeah, of course.
So we ended up kind of using this strategy. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know yet. I guess we'll find out. We have two entries at 500 a pop. So we need to pick seven and seven. We decided to take the four that we like the most, put the four in each one, and then just pick three solo and three solo. So essentially, we're keying four games and then picking six others, three and three. I don't know if that's a good strategy, but that's our plan week number one.
Yeah, I mean, four out of my six entries, I used Cincinnati. So I was, when CT was like, hey, do we want to force these three Thursday plays, even though we don't have our other seven, right? So we actually had the three, but then it was like, do we want to add Tennessee? Okay, Ohio State's now a bad number. It's 2.5 in the contest line. Do we want to force that? And so we just said, hey, we're going to opt out. And I go, you know, we're going 3-0. That's just how it works. I think sometimes you think long, you think wrong.
Before we jump in on your plays for this weekend, where are you contest-wise? I know you've got a lot going on. I entered your college football survivor ones that you've got over on Splash. You were just talking about the ones at the Westgate. And then, of course, there's NFL. Got to hit those. I assume that you've got everything hammered out, exactly how many contests you're doing. How many are you in on right now?
I would have to count. So one of the good things about Splash and that I love that they bought Office Football Pool and Run Your Pool is now I'm not on three separate websites. Everything is there together. And it gives you a big red line that's like your picks are missing. So I do love that now everything is orderly versus like me having a spreadsheet before and then I would like exit off. Now it's all together there and then it's all together on the proxy website. So I've got 15 or 20 on Splash. I mean, I just signed up for six entries in their $2.5 million guaranteed survivor with my buddy Steve because he's like, Kelly, there's going to be a huge overlay. We have to do it. It's the same reason why we did one in Circa. CT and I did one in the Circa survivor. CT, John Murray's good friend from high school, Joff, and I did one in the Westgate survivor, the $5,000 one. Of course, I got into the super contest. And then I've got six college football there at the Westgate. You mentioned the contest that I'm putting on myself. My college football one, ATS filled while I was in Ireland. So I didn't even get to sign up for my own contest.
Oh, wow.
So I had to create a new one. I created a new $100 one. I did get in the $500 one. So if you don't get a chance to fly out to Vegas and you want to get into a higher stakes college football contest, I think there's almost 40 of us in the one now, which is just a little over $20,000 in prizes. So keep that one going for another 24 hours. And then of course, John and I have the mini losers. Sammy P's in that group chat. There's some play on words there where you have to pick a loser every single week. Like you can't just play against the Saints and the Browns and, you know, every other godforsaken bottom feeder team in the NFL every single week. Now you can only use them one time. So it's kind of interesting. I've got my survivor spreadsheets done, but my mini loser spreadsheet is literally completely backwards. And I think it's going to be tougher than picking winners.
Kelly in Vegas, addicted to contests. You heard it here.
Yes.
Best sweat. Yep. Okay. Yep. I need your thoughts on Carolina. I know that this is not a game that you may have a bet on, but Belichick, Jordan Hudson, Michael Lombardi, the GM, nobody's betting Carolina here. In the summer, UNC was -1.5. I see TCU as high as 4 right now at Chris. A lot of 3.5 here. I don't know if there's a bet to be made, but just your general thoughts on what we're going to see from Carolina early. Does anybody know?
That's kind of the thing, right? So I have a company called The Gold Sheet that Wager Talk owns, and I was reading their write-up on this game because, much like you, Sammy, I didn't have a big opinion here. And one of the things that they said, and I was like, wow, outside of Jordan Hudson, it's been really, really quiet since Bill Belichick got to North Carolina. And I'm not sure what to make of that, right? If we're not hearing anything good or bad, how do you dissect this team? We can talk about Sonny Dykes. We can talk about the TCU Horned Frogs. They're going to return a lot of guys. I don't know, man. TCU has been kind of one of those up and down teams since joining the Big 12. But I do think the Frogs kind of going on this early trip east, not really getting a lot of respect here. North Carolina catching 3.5 at home. I've even seen 4s pop up. I can tell you this. CT Betts played North Carolina in our pick 7 there at the Westgate. I said, fine, definitely not going to lay it here with the Horned Frogs on the road.
All right, Kelly, let's get to your official plays of the weekend. And we start with the biggest game of the weekend with a bang on Saturday morning. Texas, Ohio State, a big move in the side portion yesterday. What are you thinking as far as the Buckeyes and the Horns?
I'm sure you guys saw the tweet. Why did it move so much? Oh, wait, our buddies at Circa took $500,000 bet on Texas. I did the show with John Murray last night. I said, John Murray, the whole world's on Texas. And he says, not so fast. Let me look into it. Pulls up his sheet and he goes, all right, Kelly, the whole world's on Texas. The Joes and the pros, in fact, are on Texas. And I said, well, I still like Ohio State. I did not play them in. I did lock them in Wednesday night when the Lions came out, I think in 2 of the contests. Pam and I agreed on Ohio State. And our good friend Joey Cheese and I agreed on Ohio State, Sammy P. So he and I are on it. But look, it's a bad number, 2.5 in the contest. I'm not playing it in any other contest at this point in time. I'm just going to sit back and see where this one goes. I like Ohio State in this spot. One of the big things about week one that I like to do is fade a bunch of narratives. What are the narratives? Arch Manning. He's the second coming of which one? His uncle or his other uncle? I'm not sure which one. But if he was so good, why did he sit on the bench the last 2 seasons? Why did Steve Sarkisian not play him when he had multiple opportunities to do so? When was Quinn Ewers better? Possibly. There's a lot of hype surrounding this Texas team. And as much as Arch Manning doesn't think the target isn't on their back, it is. Lots of chatter about a shaky quarterback situation there for the Buckeyes. But the Buckeyes are no different than the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Texas of the world. They're just going to reload as well. I think the home environment there for this game is going to be absolutely rocking. I like the Buckeyes. I'm a little mad I locked them in -1.5 earlier in the week, but it is what it is. I still think that they win this one by a touchdown or more.
Best bet number 1, Ohio State. Best bet number 2 is in Notre Dame, Miami. We are heads up here. It's Kelly in Vegas against Bet Sweats. You're on the favorite here on the road?
Yeah, I know. And I locked it in at 2.5. We're seeing 3s. We're going to see what happens here come kickoff. But here, guys, what did we do every single week last year? We bet against Mario Cristobal. I should have cashed so many money line tickets against this defense. It wasn't even funny. But they had a guy named Cam Ward, you know, the first round draft pick, that somehow pulled games out of his you know what. Last year, Miami had the benefit of not playing a single ranked team during the regular season. This is a Notre Dame team that I think is getting absolutely and utterly overlooked. 17-8-1 all time in this series. They're returning 14 starters. And you know what Notre Dame has done for me? They've proven that they can win some big games, at least as of late. Miami, 1-13 straight up, 3-11 against the spread versus top 10 teams since 2010. I get it. Mario Cristobal is different. Things are different this time around. Well, guess what? He's never had back-to-back double-digit win seasons in his career. I think the Irish absolutely obliterate this team. I could see them winning by 10.
Whew, double digits. All right. With Kelly in Vegas every Friday here on BetSweats, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. with you. All right, help me out with your third pick. I've been staring at this game all week. I'm glad it's on your card. Tennessee-Syracuse. Big picture, I don't like either team this year. But you do have a play on the game. What are you thinking?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I mean, yes, it's a neutral site game, right? They're going to be in Atlanta, just a little bit south here. But why on earth are we not getting any love for Tennessee? The whole world loves Syracuse here. And I'm not quite understanding why. ACC teams, 3-15 outright against SEC teams. And we all know that I am no fan of the SEC. Syracuse, in their first game of the season, in the last 9 years, 1-8 against the spread. Are you kidding me? This is not some powerhouse Syracuse team. Sure, they performed well here and there. But overall, I think this line is ultimately very disrespectful to a Vols team who has a solid defense. And what did they do last year in non-conference? That's right. Last three seasons, 9-0 against the spread, 12-0 straight up. I think they're going to have Syracuse's number in a big way.
This used to be called the Hottie Threesome. I don't know what it's called now. I don't know if we have branding. The triple play, the triple threat, the triangle. You like to wheel. I'm assuming these are all moneyline dogs still, right?
Yes.
So what are your three moneyline dogs, and what's the payout if you have that too?
Yeah, so the payout's 28-1 if you bet it over at the Westgate Superbook. Otherwise, you're probably going to get even worse because since I filmed this yesterday morning, the lines have started to plummet, particularly on Northwestern. I think it's down to maybe even 4, 3.5 in some spots. I don't have my odds screen open right now, but I do think we're going to fade Tulane here. I know Retzlaff coming from BYU, getting lots and lots of hype there for Tulane, but I was not impressed with him last year. 57.9% of his passes is what his completion rate was through 12 interceptions. Preston Stone did ride the bench last year at SMU, but now he's transferred to the Wildcats. Last time he was a starter, 3,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the season. Plus, on the defensive side of the ball, the Cats return 8 starters, 8-3 against the spread as a road dog in their first week of the season, 5-0 straight up and against the spread as a dog of 6 or less points. So I like the Wildcats there. My best bet for the whole weekend is UCLA. And I understand a lot of people are buying that Utah hype once again. I don't understand why, but I see that that is what is happening. And look, Utes, fine. I will give them the defensive edge. I will give them the coaching edge to Kyle Whittingham. But I don't think it's that significant to be laying 6 points here on the road in the Rose Bowl. UCLA's defense was solid last year. They deserve a ton of credit. I think they're going to get to Devin Dampier, and this game is going to be a slugfest. Nico, there's been some arguments whether he's actually good or not. I get it. He faltered in a couple of games late last year for the Vols, but he is going to improve this Bruins offense. They're going to get the running game going. They're going to be able to get the ball downfield. Give me the home edge in the Rose Bowl. The better quarterback, 5-0 against the spread as non-conference home underdogs. I like the 6 points plus the 190. And last but not least, another neutral site game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. South Carolina coming off that beautiful 9-1 season. They got 12 starters back, including Heisman hopeful Lenora Sellers. But guess what? They lost their top running back. They lost their top wide receiver. And they lost their top 5 tacklers. I'm not sure South Carolina is deserving of all this hype they're getting here coming into week one. Hokies also have 12 starter back. Kyron Drones is going to have to be a little bit better than he was last year. If you remember, they lost to Vandy, finished 6-7, and they have not been good against the SEC, as you guys heard me earlier. ACC versus SEC is not great. Do I think that they can go in and win this game? This was tough. I went back and forth whether I thought they could actually get the outright win, but I think the Gamecocks are on upset alert here. They could falter and give Virginia Tech the advantage here. If Virginia Tech is able to strike offensively, I think they can actually get the outright win here on a neutral field.
We have less than 30 seconds. We won't talk to you before the NFL season opener. So that's coming up on Thursday. Will you have something on Dallas, Philly?
No. Probably not. The whole world's going to tease Philly and play them in Survivor so that they can re-up again Saturday before the cutoff. I am absolutely terrified with all this Dallas drama between Micah Parsons' injury, CeeDee Lamb getting nailed during preseason on the sidelines. I want no part of this game.
Kelly in Vegas with us every Friday here on Bet Sweats. Thank you, Kelly. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
How about it, Sam? Everybody's going to be on it for Survivor. You threw out that idea earlier on in the show.
I still might do it in one of them. I don't think it's a bad idea. Are they winning without Parsons? Without Parsons, they're going to win?
With Parsons, were they going to win? Probably not. Ends up being about a half-point move, but they were kind of playing it in the middle before we got the official word of the trade yesterday. Speaking of that, Packers superfan Ryan Horvath joins us next on the BetMGM Network. We got a lot to get to with our guy, Ryan Horvath. Football Saturday starts with the BetMGM's tailgate kickoff. Ryan Horvath show. He's back live, 9 a.m. Eastern on Saturday mornings, breaking down the lines, the last-minute injuries, and everything you need before the game start. Do they tell us anything about college football injuries? I don't think so. Watch and stream it everywhere across the BetMGM Network. And don't forget, your weekend warm-up starts Friday with BetMGMU. RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, John Martin set the stage every week in the BetMGM Network YouTube page and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm told that's on right after this show, but I didn't feel like that was told with the most authority. Like, were you guys believing that that's on right when this show ends at noon Eastern?
No. Honestly, I feel like what Kroll's trying to do there is he just wants all eyeballs on the product all day long, right? So we do know that there is a college football show coming up. We just don't know the exact time. So just watch the network for 24 straight hours until your eyeballs bleed. And at some point, you're going to get John Martin and the boys giving you all the weekly best bets, right?
Here's the thing, Horvy. We're promoting all these shows. Yeah. None of them are the flagship show of the network. We do know that. But please check it out, and maybe one day one of them can become the flagship show of the network. We've got Ryan Horvath here, BetMGM, tonight. I'd say how you feeling, but, man, you've got to be in a great mood after your team. You always criticize them for failing to make the big move, the Green Bay Packers. That was my first thought once I realized, oh, this is real. This is actually happening. Parsons coming to the NFC North, going to Green Bay. Horvy always yells at them. They don't spend money. They never make the big move. They don't draft the right guys. They never get it done. And boom, they make the move of the year.
So here's where I've been screwing up, right? I always try to like come on the show and give you guys like facts and solid bets. I'm done with all that. From now on, hot takes. So I actually have to walk something back because, Joe, when you were out, coaching the Little League World Series or wherever you were for 2 weeks, I was on with Sammy and with Kate, and I actually said that I would not bet the Packers to win the North. Then, you know, I started getting text messages and, you know, talking back and forth with a couple different people that cover the team, and everybody was like, I think this actually has some legs, and I think that they're going to go all in for Micah Parsons. And it was hard for me to believe because, you know, every other year they're in the mix for some sort of, you know, said player. It was Odell Beckham Jr. Years ago, it was Randy Moss, Tony Gonzalez. They didn't want to part ways with a third round pick for Tony Gonzalez in the prime of his career. But great move for Brian Gutekunst. And it makes complete sense, man, because last year you make Jordan Love one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the league. You spend a lot of money on one of the better safeties in the league. You go out and get a top five running back in the league. And, you know, there's some real issues, I think, in the secondary, or at least some concerns, because you say goodbye to Jair Alexander, your best cover corner. And I was worried about the secondary. But now, you know, you couldn't go out and trade for a stud corner, a lockdown corner, because those guys just aren't out there right now on the trade market. But for whatever reason, Micah Parsons was. And this is a great move, obviously, for Green Bay. You know, one of two players to have over 12 sacks the first four seasons of his career, the other being Reggie White. And, you know, you kind of sell to the locker room that you're going all in here for the next 2 to 3 years. This is your Super Bowl window. You know, with Jordan Love being, like I said, one of the higher paid quarterbacks, you go out, you spend a first round pick on Matthew Golden. They actually select a wide receiver for the first time in forever. So I have to walk back what I said, man, because I said the value is on the Minnesota Vikings or on the Chicago Bears. Now, that said, I think you missed the number. I wouldn't bet the Packers today at plus 170. You should have grabbed them last week when they were nearly 3-1. So maybe I would take a stab with Minnesota in the division at plus 320. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like this move for Green Bay, man, because that was the concern, right? And now you have Rashawn Gary on the other side, and he hasn't really been a double-digit sack guy. He's been really good against the run, but he's been seeing a bunch of double teams. Now Micah Parsons is going to eat those double teams, right? And then you have Lucas Van Ness. So I think this is huge for everybody on the defensive side of the ball. So as long as Parsons stays healthy, man, I think the Packers win double-digit games, and they're a real threat in the NFC.
Just stay on the field. That's all you need. Stay on the field. Do not get hurt. Like, that cannot happen. I do have my concern, though. The Green Bay Packers are now priced like the second best team in the conference, and that does not feel accurate to me. How about you?
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. I mean, you look at the rest of the roster, and I have some serious concerns about the wide receiver room. You know, I thought that was actually going to be a strength, but Jaden Reed, he's going to try to play through this injury. I just don't know that that's possible, man. So I think he's going to be a shell of himself this season, and you really need him because I like the LaFleur offense, but they really need the gadget guys. So I was excited, you know, for, you know, Lloyd, the backup running back, and he's already hurt. Obviously, you like Josh Jacobs, but Christian Watson's not going to be back until at least, like, week 12 if we even see him this season. I like Matthew Golden. Everybody loves him. Everybody's betting him to win Rookie of the Year, but we've never actually seen him take a snap in a regular season game before. And, you know, he might be wide receiver number one. Romeo Doubs is solid, but he's probably at best the number two. I like the tight end room, and I also have some concerns, man, about the offensive side of the line. Elgton Jenkins has been an all-pro guard, but now they move him to center, and that's been the issue, you know, the last year and a half. It's been Jordan Love staying healthy, so they got to keep him healthy, protect him, and, you know, we'll see how good the secondary is. But that's the thing. The price right now is way off at plus 170. I wouldn't bet them today. You missed the boat. If you weren't betting them plus 240, plus 260, because even 15 minutes after this trade went down, man, I went over to MGM, and they had the same price still hanging. An hour later, you know, it bumped down to plus 170. So you kind of missed the boat on Green Bay. I'd probably look elsewhere. You know, I've been making the case against Detroit because you lose both coordinators, more outdoor games for Goff. I don't really love the defense. Even last year with Aiden Hutchinson on the field, they really struggled to generate any pressure, and he led the league in pressure. You know, Minnesota, I like Kevin O'Connell a lot, man. And I don't think there's going to be this big drop-off from Sam Darnold to J.J. McCarthy. So, you know, you give me $100, I have to make a bet on this division. It's probably Minnesota at plus 320. Or I'm taking a stab on the Bears at plus 625. But I can't get – I know it's a preseason game, you guys. I can't get that Kansas City, the first half where Mahomes just carved them up. I looked up and it was 17-0 last Friday. I can't get that out of my head. So maybe Minnesota's the play right now.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that I like the move so much, not only being aggressive and going for it from the Green Bay perspective, is I just look around and I looked at the very top of the board in the NFC throughout this offseason. I'm like, I don't love anyone. There are holes in all of these teams. And, you know, Philadelphia running it back after losing the OC, all the run with Saquon, they lose a lot of depth on defense. Detroit losing both OCs, you lose Ragnow. There's a lot of questions there. Yeah, they're going to be healthier than they were a year ago, but not 100% healthy. Not everybody's going to be back at the start of the year. How about San Francisco coming back from all those injuries? Are they going to be what they once were? Jaden Daniels, he's not going to do that on fourth down again this year. Like, I have questions about all these teams at the very top in the NFC, and it felt like the Packers saw that, saw the opening, and said, okay, it's time. Let's make the move. They were a top 10 defense last year. What are they now?
Yeah, I mean, they could be a top 5 defense, right? Again, like, my only concern with Green Bay coming into the season on the defensive side of the ball was the pass rush, you know, because they needed a big year from Van Ness, who hasn't proved anything. And I like Rashawn Gary, but again, he's been getting chipped and double teamed for the last 2 years, so the sack numbers haven't been there. Now with Micah Parsons, it makes everybody on that side of the ball better. If they fail, it's going to be because of injury. It's going to be maybe because of the secondary. Maybe the offensive line doesn't hold up. But, yeah, I mean, I like them going all in as well. I mean, because like I said, you just made Jordan Love one of the higher-paid quarterbacks in the league. In the first 2 years, man, there were excuses, right? Year one, they really weren't even supposed to be there. They beat Dallas in Dallas. Dallas hadn't lost at home all season long. They lose to San Francisco. Jordan Love throws some bad interceptions. It's okay because, really, it's his rookie year. Last year, you know, Jordan Love was never really healthy, so there's that excuse. But they spent a lot of money in free agency, obviously, on Josh Jacobs, you know, and on the defensive side of the ball last year as well. But, you know, we have the Philadelphia game. Jordan Love throws some really bad interceptions. Now there's no more excuses, right? Because he's getting paid. You draft Matthew Golden in the first round. You go out and trade for a top three edge rusher, maybe the best edge rusher in the league. So there's no more excuses. That said, they still wouldn't be my bet. I like San Francisco. They play the easiest schedule in the league. I like their alt win totals. It just comes down to, man, McCaffrey has to stay healthy. I bet his touchdown's over 7.5. I like him to win Offensive Player of the Year. And I think the defense, I know they don't have the most talented defense, but I still like Fred Warner. I like Nick Bosa. And I know Robert Saleh failed as a head coach, but I do like him as a coordinator. So I still like San Francisco, man. Even last year, Purdy missed two games, didn't have any healthy weapons, and almost threw for 4,000 yards. I think San Francisco bounces back this year.
You and I both have McCaffrey, OPOY, and Hampton, OROY. What could go wrong there? You and I on the same thing. Any other future bets that you haven't talked about that you've thought about pressing? I know we pop a lot of bets into the app, and then we look at them and hover and can't get home. Are there any bets like that that you found yourself wanting to bet but you haven't been able to do it yet?
So, one that I kind of want to grab right now is I already like Dallas over 7.5 wins. Now it's 6.5. I still think this team could win 7 games, man. What I worry about is, did you completely lose the locker room? And obviously I worry about the defensive side of the ball. It's hard to win in shootout fashion every single week. But I mean, I already like Dak if he could stay healthy to lead the league in touchdown passes. You could get that 15-1, 16-1, I still believe. 2 years ago, when Schottenheimer took over as play caller, he led the league in touchdown passes. I hate the running back room. You add Pickens. You have CeeDee Lamb. I think Jake Ferguson has a bounce back year. He didn't catch a single touchdown last year. So I like the offense enough, man, but not without Parsons. I worry about the defense. But let's not act like that was a top 10 defense with Micah Parsons. Kenny Clark's still a solid player. He's 30 years old, so you probably get like two more good years out of him. But I kind of like Dallas, man, to win 7 games now that that win total has went from 7.5 to 6.5. And then I keep betting Arizona to make the playoffs. I'm really high on their offseason, although Walter Nolan's already hurt, which absolutely sucks because I worry about them against the run. And then Jacksonville over 7.5 wins. I think at worst, man, their basement, their floor is 8 wins this season. I like the Liam Cohen hire. I liked him 2 years ago at Kentucky when he made Will Levis look like a real quarterback. I like what he did last year, obviously, with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa offense. And I think the defense will be better this year as long as they could stay healthy in the secondary. So my two buy low teams are Arizona to make the playoffs and Jacksonville.
Harvey, you go over the full card, of course, tomorrow morning, tailgate kickoff right here on the BetMGM Network. Throw us a couple of your favorite college football plays.
All right, so, you know, obviously on a Friday, a lot of these numbers have been hit. By the way, Sam, loved your work on Fox Sports 1 last night after the games. I stayed up, watched you and the Bear. Great stuff. So a couple that I bet, I got a lot, so I'll just throw you guys them all. Mississippi State, I bet at 11.5. They're now 13.5 point favorites tomorrow against Southern Miss. I love Northwestern at 6. I still like it at 4.5. I think they could beat Tulane outright. Northwestern brings back like over 60% of their production on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, they were top 30 defensively, 35th actually, so just outside the top 30. And they bring in Preston Stone, which I know it didn't work out at SMU, but he's an upgrade over anything that Northwestern's had the last decade plus. So we're going with Chicago's Big Ten team, plus 4.5 against Tulane. I like the over in Texas, Ohio State. Now you could get 46.5 minus 115. I like it at 47.5. Way too many athletes on that field to cheer for an under. I like USC laying a big number, 35.5 against Missouri State. And then, Joe, I think we're on the same side. I know everybody loves Clemson. I know it's been forever since LSU's won a week one game. I know now all of a sudden Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. He's a terrible coach. I like LSU to cover the 4, maybe even win that game outright against Clemson. Love Clemson this year as well, man, but they were 0-3 against the SEC last year. I think Brian Kelly's going to keep this game close. I don't think he's going to be banging the table at the podium after the presser in this one.
I keep seeing this line getting shoved down, and I it makes me nervous, but also these are often the games that just win for fun. This Ohio State-Texas game, they keep shoving. But the sharpest guys that I know bet under 50.5 and 50. They're not betting under 47.5 and 47. I mean, I respect it. Obviously, there's enough money to move that. But watch it be 31-30 now, and we just win for fun, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how it's been the last couple of years, right? I never feel good about closing line value, like the Northwestern game that I talked about. Not that a point and a half is a huge deal, but six to 4.5 is a pretty big deal. And watch, they'll end up losing the game by 30 and it won't matter. With these totals, especially if you're betting FCS games, you know, last minute on Saturdays, man, sometimes you'll beat the market by like 10, 14 points and still lose the bet. But, you know, you obviously feel good when you got the better of the number. And I can easily see that game, Sam, being 13 to 10 or being a complete shootout. I've been looking forward to that one. You know, I bet Texas early this summer at 3.5. Now I'm considering maybe coming back and playing some cheap Ohio State on the money line. But I don't want to sit on the couch with Jeremiah Smith and Arch Manning and, you know, all these athletes on the field and cheer for an under. So I think that game goes over.
Less than 30 seconds. Do you have any thoughts on your Cubs?
You know, I'm trying not to be too upset about it because last night, you know, I was thinking about it like this. If you would have told me on August 29th now, that they're a game behind the Dodgers, I would have accepted that. But it's just the Brewers, man. They never go away. It doesn't make any sense. The deadline pissed me off. Kind of out on Craig Counsell. Trying to stay positive, though.
Wow.
Right? Just make it to October, and I'll be happy.
They'll be there. They'll be there. Sounds great. There's Horvy, the Howard Stern book in the background. Appreciate it, man. Have fun on the show tomorrow morning. We'll be checking that out. Lightning Bets on the other side. Joe, Sammy P, it was fun checking out Horvy and his plays. Glad to hear that he likes LSU. By the way, he is a very good college football handicapper, so you should check out that show tomorrow morning right here on the BetMGM Network. Every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, BetMGM Network's tailgate kickoff for an hour with Ryan Horvath, getting you set the full slate of games each and every Saturday. And he didn't say go bet the Packers right now. He did say you kind of lost the number. Maybe it creates value elsewhere. Going to be fascinating to see the impact that we see from Parsons right away. So George did get the official place. I was very glad because I think we were a little concerned after our conversation that what he is going to hear and what the reality was from Kelly with her picks was going to be something different, because that is something that people accused him of last year with Adam Chernoff. I did see the documentation. Now, he didn't give her the best number, but he did give the correct sides that she had as her plays for the show.
Good. Very glad. You know, I care about that very much. It's very important in my life. So I'm glad that that's all ironed out.
I am very concerned about it. Like, get the right picks. If you're going to track someone, make sure you're tracking the actual selections, not something else that's thrown in a side conversation, say like the North Carolina one or something like that, or one of the dogs that she was saying it might be worth a long shot. No, these are the actual picks for the track.
Okay. Now that that's taken care of, can we talk about something else? Can we talk about the National League MVP and Kyle Schwarber hitting four home runs last night? The 21st time in Major League history somebody went deep four times. So he now has 49 home runs. And if you look at the National League stats, he's got four more homers than Ohtani. He also leads the National League in RBIs. He's got 119. Mm-hmm. Ohtani isn't even top four in RBIs. Also, Ohtani's kind of sucked as a pitcher this year. He hasn't been anything special. Oh, he struck out nine guys the other night. What's his ERA this year? Go look at his ERA. Nothing special. 4.18. His whip is 1.20. Why is he such a substantial favorite? And then, oh, you look at the market. 2 days ago, Ohtani was minus 5,000. Right now at BetMGM, Ohtani is minus 800. Kyle Schwarber has been bet down to 4-1. Should we just be talking about this every day, that Schwarber is the more valuable player? I understand that Ohtani is an unbelievable talent, but who's more valuable right now? Is it really Ohtani? Are we sure?
I like PCA.
No, you don't.
Remember that? Remember when Pete Crow Armstrong was in that conversation and people in Chicago were trying to will that to be a thing? I'm like, no, don't bet it. We were telling you when the number was extremely short you may like him, but don't bet Pete Crew Armstrong. It's not a conversation. And the only other player that we've talked about is Schwarber. I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to win. And you're right about the pitching side of things. Has he sucked? At times. He sucked in the last two starts before this week. And that this week was the first time. The guy's been pitching 2.5 months. It was the first time all season that he went 5+, that he went at least 5 innings. And they stretched him out to 87 pitches. So is that the new norm? I don't know. Is this enough to overtake Ohtani? BetMGM has the lowest number in the market. That's 4-1 on Schwarber. That's still a ways away. And you got a guy that's also doing the pitching now. Okay, so if he's going to have performances like he did the other day, no, he's not catching Ohtani. Nope, I don't think it's going to happen. I still think it's Ohtani. And I don't know that the price is cheap enough to bet it right now, but I do expect it to be Ohtani.
We have people that listen to Bet Sweats. Again, not the flagship show on the station, but a very popular show. They've got Schwarber 70-1, 50-1, 40-1, 20-1. We have people that have bought in at different price points. And I think while this bet probably loses, I still think it was worth it. Still think it was a great idea to bet him, especially in that 40, 50, 70-1 range. He's going to hit 55+ home runs or more on a team that probably wins the division. Most years, that's enough. But you have to deal with Ohtani, and that's the problem. You also have to deal with the voters who just gargle Ohtani at every opportunity. That's the problem.
Best number I see right now is 5-1. That's most of the market. Well, there's a 6 actually out there. And that's about it. Those are the only two worth even having a little bit of a conversation. So if you're thinking maybe there's a chance, I don't know that you want to do it the night after he hits 4 home runs. There might be some other opportunities where the number gets a little bit better. You know, like it could be like the other day with the NL Cy Young race. If Ohtani has another great pitching matchup, that would be your opportunity. But then is it even worth it? Might not be enough time for Schwarber to catch Ohtani, but certainly worth pointing out the move that we saw there. A lot of these markets, big moves, big performances, and we've seen big moves, injuries as well. It all is being impactful here in the final stretch run of the MLB regular season. All right, we've got a great week of college football action. I think that's where we're going to be heavy as far as lightning bets. Where do you want to start, Sam?
Yeah, I've given some of these bets out over the last 4 or 5 days, but let me just reiterate, I love Miami. That's my favorite play. I bet 3 in the summer. Yes, I still like 2.5 on the Canes. I think they should be favored against Notre Dame. I also am on this over. Now, I've bet personally and given out over 47.5. Some books now have 46.5. If you didn't do it, then you plus the points over in Columbus and Oregon State on the money line.
I feel like I'm missing so much. I didn't know you had a newsletter. Horvy mentions that you were on FS1 last night with the Bear Chris Felica. I didn't know that was happening. Like, what's going on? Where do I get this
Bear
newsletter?
Bets is now being packaged on FS1, which I didn't even know was a thing until last week. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The newsletter is pinned on the top of my Twitter on both SP Shoot and Chicken Dinner page. I'll send you the newsletter if you want. I'll send you a carrier pigeon. Drop it off right at your house.
How much you charging?
It's free.
Come on, man. I'm just asking.
Should charge. All right. You're right. I should charge. I would you never could. Charge you, though.
Okay.
I'm going to forward it to you right now because you didn't get the first one. So there you go. Looking it's in your inbox to, right meow.
There you go. How about Horvy on Northwestern? Speaking of meows, on Northwestern this weekend. Okay. As far as college plays, he did mention that I gave out LSU earlier this week. Still on that, getting more than a field goal. I'm going to take LSU. We mentioned the Texas-Ohio State. I know a lot of people, like, they're listening on Friday to Lightning Bets, right? So even if we've mentioned something throughout the week, we are going to regurgitate and mention it one more time before we head off into the weekend. You talked about Miami. You got it at 3. I don't think we're going to get there, but maybe there's a chance. You know that Notre Dame money's coming, but I do like Miami plus 2.5 either way. Freeman struggles early in the season. Redshirt freshman quarterback on the road. That's going to be tough. A game we didn't talk much about, and it's hard to get an opinion because there's a lot of guessing. It's something we have not seen before. We're not going to be on the air before Monday night. I got a feeling that that is going to draw big numbers. Maybe I'm wrong, but Belichick, college football sideline, all the drama, all the noise, all offseason, I think that numbers, that game is going to draw big time. TCU against the Tar Heels, getting 3.5 after opening as the favorite. All offseason to get ready. Give me UNC plus 3.5 in the season opener. And then people are going to overreact the other way. And then they're going to be in on the whole thing. So, yeah, give me the Tar Heels there. Like a couple dogs this weekend.
Okay.
A few of them.
I talked earlier in the show about Illinois. I can't bet Illinois. Now, Illinois got bet from 45.5. Some books are 48.5. Circa's at 49. That has happened in the last hour. So Illinois got absolutely shoved against Western Illinois. Not great. Not great if you're going to be late to the party laying 48.5, 49 when you could have laid 45.5. But that could easily be 47-0. And if you laid 45.5, you're going to win. If you laid 48.5, you're not going to cover the 47. So these numbers that get jacked up 3-4 points, it's tough to chase those moves in college.
All right, where's the room? We got them. Where's the room? We got less than a minute to rifle through these. Okay, John Ewing put these out. Number 5, Syracuse plus 14. Kelly's right. They are all on them. 4, Clemson laying 4 against LSU. Happy about that. Number 3, they're laying it with the Irish. We're happy about that. Minus 2.5. Number 2, Bama laying 2 touchdowns. Number 1, where's the room? Texas.
Of course.
There it is.
Of course.
All right.
1-4 yesterday. Earlier.
That's important. Yep. 1-4. Number 1 wasn't even close. They're on Texas. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday, BetMGM Network.